You're listening to SBS News.
The Chinese government has promoted its One Belt, One Road initiative as a 21st century maritime Silk Road. The initiative is an attempt to revive the ancient road and ocean network by creating two modern transit and trade corridors between China and Europe. Now, a memorandum of understanding between China and the state of Victoria has been released, detailing an agreement linking the state to the initiative. The release comes weeks after a secretive deal between them, signed in early October, was announced at a formal ceremony. At the time, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews said the agreement would benefit Victorians.
We have a very strong, very important economic partnership. That's all about jobs. It's all about more product being exported around the world. If we can, through the infrastructure work that China is involved in offshore, if we can be exporting skills as well as giving businesses the opportunities to share in all that work, then I think that's a good thing.
The Chinese government has spent billions of dollars on new infrastructure projects for roads, rails and ports and maritime corridors. In all, 68 countries have signed up to the project, including New Zealand. In Australia, the federal government has decided Australia will not participate amid concerns over China's plans to expand its power in the region and beyond. Australian Strategic Policy Institute Executive Director Peter Jennings says he is concerned about China's intentions in turning to Victoria.
China knew very well that the federal government position was not to sign an MOU. And so by going to the Victorian state government, I really think that, you know, what we have here is Beijing shopping around to find an answer that it prefers. And frankly, this amounts to a type of interference in Australia's political system.
Mr. Andrews had been resisting calls from Prime Minister Scott Morrison and Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy to make the deal public before the November 24th elections. And early last week, Mr. Morrison said Australia would maintain its policy on the Belt and Road Initiative, but would address any plans on a case-by-case basis. Victorian State Opposition Treasury spokesman Michael O'Brien has accused Mr. Andrews of overstepping his powers.
The Australian government clearly had concerns that such a deal would not be in the best interests of Australia. So Victorians are entitled to ask, why does Daniel Andrews think that he knows better than the federal government, which has got advice from trade agencies and security agencies? Daniel Andrews has absolutely put Victoria, if not at risk, then certainly under a big question mark because of the secrecy with which he's done this deal.
The pressure on the Victorian Premier to release details of the deal escalated when Federal Labor called on the state government to release the agreement over time. Mr. Jennings has welcomed the release of the memorandum now, but he questions the timing.
I think the whole thing has been handled very badly. So the document appears to have been signed on the 8th of October, but it took weeks before it was announced. Then for a period of weeks, Premier Andrews refused to release it and said that it was secret and not possible to be put out. Then it's released late on a Sunday afternoon of Armistice Day, when frankly a lot of people are putting their attention elsewhere.
Mr. Andrews has told SBS the government was going to release the details on Friday, but stopped because of the deadly attack on Bourke Street. Dr. Hussein Ramal, an Associate Professor of International Business and Strategy at the University of Technology, Sydney, says in the past such deals have been done at a country-to-country level.
We haven't seen a state in a country saying we will go ahead with China, so this is certainly a unique situation. The first of its kind as far as this One Belt, One Road initiative is concerned.
He says Victoria going outside the norm does create issues.
Australia wasn't very keen, even though it's in the neighbourhood. Australia is happy to have Chinese investments, but it wasn't going to have the country be part of this initiative. So the Victorian government doing that will certainly raise some eyebrows around the world, but it does create a bit of a tension and a conflict with the federal government.
Victoria's economic prosperity relies strongly on the state's relationship with China, its largest trading partner. Victoria is a large provider of food and fibre products to China, and China is Victoria's largest source of international students and tourists. Peter Jennings at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute says Victoria's relationship with China will continue to prosper under the deal, but he says the deal goes against the constitution, which stipulates foreign policy must be left to the federal federal government, so he's urging the Victorian government to reconsider.
People can do silly things when they think that big money is on the line. You know, it's often, I think, a sense of greed that drives how state governments want to engage with China. And usually the eagerness to line up for the cash is such that, you know, they perhaps overlook some of the finer details about how to negotiate agreements to protect one's interests. Nothing is as simple as it seems when it comes to negotiating with China.
China has faced criticism over burdening some developing economies with large debts after countries signed up to the initiative. Peter Jennings says while it is not a legally binding contract, he has concerns over Victoria becoming another casualty.
Sri Lanka, which really has become an early casualty of a BRI deal with China over the construction of a port. In the Sri Lankan case, the Chinese essentially lent the Sri Lankan government money to construct the port, and then the Sri Lankan government was unable to pay the interest bill effectively, and so the port has now been handed over in terms of its ownership to China.
The five-year Victorian agreement will automatically be extended another 5 years unless a party decides to terminate it. If a party decides to terminate it, it must be jointly agreed upon following 3 months of written notice. Michael O'Brien, the Victorian Opposition Treasury spokesman, says Victorians should have been consulted.
The terms of the deal provide that it can only be terminated by mutual consent, otherwise it operates for 5 years. So it appears that Daniel Andrews assigned this state up to a deal which can't be terminated simply at the instigation of Victoria and locks us in for 5 years at minimum. That's a real concern because Daniel Andrews didn't consult with the community on this. He didn't discuss it with the opposition parties. He didn't bring it to the parliament. He's simply gone and done this behind the backs of Victorians.
The Victorian government remains adamant the Memorandum of Understanding does not bind Victoria to being involved in any specific project.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.